Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I'm going to continue talking about the meaning of the Bodhisattva ceremony. And what we're going to talk about today are the three pure precepts at the end of the ceremony. And just by the way, after I give my lecture, we're going to do the Bodhisattva ceremony. It's that time of the month again. So please come and join us. The three pure precepts are: I vow to refrain from all evil. I vow to make every effort to live in enlightenment. I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. So taken together, the three pure precepts are kind of a distillation of the 10 precepts that we take. Refraining from evil, living in enlightenment, and benefiting all beings. You can think of those as being the three legs of one stool. So as you know, in our ceremony we have the precept, and then we have the saying that the dosha gives. So the first one is, I vow to refrain from all evil. And then the dosha says, it is the abode of the law of all Buddhas, it is the source of the law of all Buddhas. So in this lecture today, what I want to concentrate on are the sayings after the recitation of the precept itself. So the character here that's being translated as evil, the Japanese character is aku. So aku does mean evil, but it also means wrong. It refers to a vice, a wickedness, lawlessness, being vicious, something that's unfavorable, perverted, treacherous, or false. So what I'm most interested in this translation is the one that says that it's lawless. So lawless, or not being lawful, is interesting in the Buddhist context, because the translation of Dharma, one translation of Dharma is the law. So you probably heard this. So if we run with this idea, because evil as a word, I think, is difficult for us, just like save is, because of the Christian connotations of the word evil. So if we think of the word as being actually in reference to the Dharma, as being lawless or out of the context of the Dharma. So evil is actions that are not in accord with the teachings of the Buddha Dharma. So I think this is a much better way to understand the meaning of this precept. Now it becomes something like, now it becomes, I vow to refrain from actions that do not accord with the Buddha way. And I think that's much closer to what we're actually about. So to refrain is to go away from something, not indulge in something. So the practice of going away from what is against the Buddha Dharma, that's our practice. To go away from what is unskillful in the mind of the Bodhisattva, or the abode or the home of the Buddha Dharma. That it says it is the abode of the law of all Buddhas. So to return to this home, to refrain from leaving this home. So this precept, to be in accord with the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas and our ancestral lineage, I would say is the basis and the foundation and the center of our practice. So it's the beginning of our practice, the middle of our practice, and the end of our practice. It is our true and original self. So again, law means dharma. To turn away, we are being asked to turn away from what is unskillful, turn away from what causes suffering, and to refrain from engaging in these activities and return to Buddha Dharma. And thinking about refraining from something and returning to something is a conscious choice. We can't refrain from doing something or to return to our true nature if we cannot see how we have strayed from the teachings. So recently, I've been hearing a lot about the COVID vaccinations and how they're being distributed, and thinking and heard about developing nations not having enough COVID vaccines because they're being essentially hoarded by more prosperous nations, including the United States. And this also hurts all of us, because we are all one humanity, and COVID can't be stopped by just only vaccinating groups of people in one or another country. Otherwise, it keeps coming around. So if we think about hoarding, think about wanting to get something all for ourselves, this is based on the fear of not getting enough. And if we're honest with ourselves, don't we want to save ourselves first? So how do we solve this problem of wanting to save the self first? One solution that's been suggested is that the formula for the vaccines be given away to other countries to help them manufacture their own vaccinations instead of buying it from others. Maybe there are other alternatives. But every alternative involves someone giving up some kind of gain or profit within the context of this process. So we don't often give up something when we let go of our selfishness. We don't like to let go of things in the context of our selfishness. And to be selfish, by definition, is to hoard or want to have it our own way without regard for the other's needs. So we all know that our teaching is about becoming selfless and dropping, refraining from this greed from gain and profit of any kind. So that's the Buddha Dharma, to give up the attachment to selfishness, to self-centeredness. If we don't do this, we are not in the abode of the Buddhas, and we are following, nor are we following the source of the source of the Dharma of all Buddhas. So that's the first of the precepts, which I remind you again is: I vow to refrain from, I'll say, things that do not accord with the Dharma. It is the abode of the law of the Buddhas. It is the source of the law of all Buddhas. So it is the abode of the Dharma, the Buddha Dharma. It is the source of the Buddha Dharma. This refraining from and returning to. So the second one is, I vow to make every effort to live in enlightenment. It is the teaching of Anattara, Samyak, Sambodhi, and the path of the one who practices that which is practice. I vow to make every effort to live in enlightenment. It is the teaching of Anattara, Samyak, Sambodhi, and the path of one who practices and that which is practiced. So we've already talked about how it is to make a vow, that taking a vow, making a vow, is very serious, and we should not take it lightly. So we say, I vow to make every effort. So this every effort is the complete dedication to each moment of enacting the Buddha way, each moment in our lives. It's a complete dedication to each moment in our lives to try to enact the Buddha way best we can, to try to be skillful, to try to enact wise discernment and efficacious compassion. So, in the context of the example I've given, every effort means that nations share the vaccination, the vaccine. It means that we share as well. We wake up to what's needed, and we use a broader perspective than what's based on our own likes and dislikes. So you and I, we vow to make every effort to awaken and to really put our shoulders into pushing the Dharma craft the Dharma card, and the Dharma vehicle of the Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas. This is the Buddha way. It happens in our daily practice, and our formal practice is also the how of this effort. So we do this formal practice, and in enacting this formal practice, we find out something about ourselves, and we also, like Dogen says in Zui Monkey, we also like walking through the grass. The formal practice, sometimes we don't know what's happening, but we are transformed, and it carries over into our daily lives. So this is the how we get there. This is how we learn to make this effort. And this effort is what Dogen calls practice realization. Our practice itself is realization. Because who is practicing? Who keeps us practicing? It's our Buddha nature making that effort. As we make the effort, failing and succeeding, it's like a perpetual motion machine of the Dharma. It's like we make this effort, our Buddha nature encourages to make this effort. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't, but every time we make the effort, it comes back around. Every time we fail, it comes up and says, yes, keep going, keep going. Remember your deepest vow. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. That means unsurpassed, complete enlightenment. Fully awakened. Always on target. This is our aspiration and our vow. Well, as foolish human beings, we may never be able to completely enact Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi in every moment. But we are capable of enacting unsurpassed complete realization in many moments. We should not be discouraged. Even when we're not looking, sometimes we are engaged in Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. So this is a lifetime practice, moment after moment for our whole life. It doesn't have to be oppressive, doesn't have to be something heavy. It's just our Buddha nature returning to the source over and over again in each moment. This is the meaning of practice itself as realization. Or Shuso Ito, practice, realization are one. So when we say the teaching, the path, and the practice, this is our life guided by the teaching, our life walking the teaching, our life embodying the practice. It is the path of the teachings as the teachings themselves, the path of attainment, and the path that we are walking simultaneously. All three of these aspects are one thing. Now, the third of these vows is, I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. It is transcending profane and holy and taking self and others across. So again, the third is, I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. It is transcending profane and holy and taking self and others across. This effort to live and be lived acknowledges that life is causal, relational, interbeing, interconnected. It is communal. It's not enough for us to live just for ourselves. We have to make this effort to figure out and respond to what is the most beneficial action for each situation. This self, yourself, is not left out of the equation. But our own desires or our perceived needs and dislikes cannot be the driving force of our decisions. Everything is weighed. That's what discernment is. Again, we're not leaving out the self, our own needs, and yet at the same time we're saying, is this just a like or a dislike? Or is this something can I drop this thing now? Is this what needs to happen here? Or is this something that I need to continue on this course because it's harmful to myself and as well as others? So benefiting all beings includes not giving yourself away. When we give ourselves away by misguided compassion or need, then we're not following the Buddha way. So this is a trap that we could fall into. So this is not an admonition to harm yourself to benefit others. For example, it does not help yourself or others to stay in a harmful relationship. It does not help yourself or others to enable addiction. So this is where discernment comes in. Now, the part here of this, I vow to live and be lived. Live and be lived is the meaning of turning or being turned by something or someone. Our life is enacted, it's lived, it's affected or turned by the lives of others. All life affects us as we affect all life. It is cause and effect, played out moment after moment, eon to eon, beginningless and endless throughout time and space. When we use single-use plastics, this is the time of Earth Day, so we're talking about the environment a lot right now. When we use single-use plastics, we are being turned by our own delusion, by our own agenda, forgetting that this also affects our turns the whole of Earth's functioning. Jocko and I were trying to avoid using single-use plastics, and then, bang, comes the pandemic, and they took away all the bins of bulk nuts, etc., grain, and everything ended up being packaged in plastic again. So sometimes, despite one's best efforts, you can't do this. But we should always return to remembering this, thinking about this within a larger context. The things that we do have big, vast consequences that we may or may not be paying attention to, and we should pay attention to them. In the case of using single-use plastic, like a bottle of water, that's really a convenience. That's something to do with our own desire for convenience most of the time. So that's something we can change. So to live and be lived is very close to home. It is I vow to live and be lived. We are already lived and be lived, if you will. We are already in that situation. The question is, are we cognizant of it? Do we wake up to it? Are we willing to become aware of it in a way that actually drives our actions? So I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. This is the Bodhisattva vow. This is figuring out how to distribute the COVID vaccination to all the nations at this time, not when we have finished vaccinating ourselves. It is really looking at how we use the Earth's resources. It is responding to the need of the whole, not just our own selfish little circle that we're in the middle of. So I use the word selfish because this too is about discernment. When are you being selfish? When are you being wise? When is the best course of action to take care of yourself and not heed another person's selfish and deluded agenda? This too is part of the practice. So part of the practice is discerning exactly what's going on in any given situation. So the next one is, it is transcending profane and holy and taking self and others across. So what is it in this sentence? It is transcending profane and holy and taking self and others across. I would suggest that it refers to the vow, it refers to live and be lived, and it refers to benefiting all beings, or all being, as one thing. Taking this vow, living this vow, And the wholesome benefiting of self and other is one activity. It's the Buddha way. It's the Buddha Dharma. It's your true self's desire. It's Buddha nature realized. It is practice realization. It is Anattara Samyaksambodhi. So I would say for this reason, this it is bigger or greater than our ideas about what is worldly or sacred. It is more than form and emptiness. It is more than this or that. Suchness includes a whole ball of wax, the whole earth, the universe, beings, you, me, everything. Everything. It includes the spoon you use to dip something or to put something in your mouth. It includes the dishes, your dog, your car, the people next door, the bugs, the grass. Everything's working and practicing together. So, again, it says, it is transcending profane and holy and taking self and others across. So I ask you, can you take self and others across? I would say, no, you cannot. But to live and be lived is the whole of the functioning of the totality of everything through the self, and the self being functioning through the whole of it. So you can't do this by yourself. It's the whole functioning through the self. We can only function through the self, through our bodies, through our activity. We're not somebody else. We're not in somebody else's body. We're not doing something as somebody else. We are completely this particular human being. So I would say, no, you can't do it by yourself. But we do it because we live and through the self allow all being to manifest and change ourself as we change it, the whole universe. That is our responsibility as bodhisattvas to apply ourselves to make every effort to do this practice, to make every effort to figure out what this is that we're talking about. This is the whole functioning through the self. And the self being functioned through the whole of it, through the whole of this gyoji, our continuous practice of all being. We can't always see how this works, but we follow the Buddha Dharma as best we can, and what we call this is faith. We say, we have faith that we are Buddha. You probably heard this expression before. We have faith that we are Buddha. Are we a Buddha? I must admit, I don't feel often that I am a Buddha. If I think that Buddha means some kind of perfection, then it makes sense that I don't think that I am Buddha. But to say that we have faith that we are Buddha does not mean that we have faith that we are perfect. Because when we say Buddha, what we mean is all beings are Buddha nature. Then this is something I can understand. I am of this earth. I am part of the mandala of this process called birth and death. This is Buddha nature. I am in relationship with this life, with this earth, with people, with things, other beings, with all being. This is Buddha nature. All beings are Buddha nature. So I'm not, you are not left out of this. Now, as human beings who have a certain kind of consciousness, because we can be conscious and make choices, because we can refrain from and return to consciously, then we make this vow. Then we have this responsibility to try to understand what it means to say, all beings are Buddha nature. I am Buddha nature. So, having made this vow, these three vows, I'm grounded in this very mind is Buddha. This very mind is Buddha. Not just this very mind as my very mind, but this very mind of the totality of all of the universe functioning. This very mind is the Vairochana Buddha. This very mind as the complete and total interconnected practicing of everything being lived and lived by. So faith in Buddha Dharma sustains us. It lifts us up. It encourages us to continue. So we have faith that we can go beyond dualistic thinking. We can go beyond thinking in terms of binary this or that, or them or us. We can let go of ideas about what is holy and what is not. We can see our life as both sacred and profane simultaneously, and we can leap from that point, letting go of both. Letting go of both. Nothing special. Nothing special, and nothing is to be discarded. Your life is not to be discarded. Your life is not, what you're going for is not some kind of special, rarefied, sacred state. We let go of both of those. If we really stay in the moment of being lived and to live and be lived by, if that becomes our koan, we don't have to worry about the other stuff. So just let go of those and pay attention to this path that you walk. Just living in concert with all beings, especially with those who are close to us. We can't go off in some fantasy land in our heads about benefiting others when we're yelling at our neighbors. All of this starts with our life right now. Right now where we are, we refrain from getting upset with our neighbors. We return to the realization that we are all Buddha nature and the koan of what that might mean when we're annoyed with our neighbors. So all of this starts, all of this is our life right now, right where we are. And you know, so this is really hard work. So this is difficult to do. And yet, we ask ourselves to do it. We are being asked to do this work for the benefit of all beings. And then taking others across is just this activity of benefiting others, to live and be lived by self and others. So engage with your life, engage with the life with others. Let go of ideas about what is holy and therefore good, and what is worldly and therefore bad. There's only your life lived and being lived through the self and through others. This is the field of dreams. It's our field of battles. It's our field of rest and our field of joy. It's our field of gratitude. It's our field of letting go. This is our Buddha field. This is just our life. It is the field of this very mind is Buddha, the place where we find ourselves day after day. Sometimes we pilot the boat crossing the river. Sometimes we're just the passengers. But whatever role we're taking, let us be guided by these precepts. Do not disregard the Buddha Dharma. Make every effort to live in enlightenment and live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. Thank you.